Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. Hallelujah. First Wednesday in December 2021. Oh, my goodness. Where has the time went? We thank God for another time that we can gather together in His name and study the Word of God. Amen. To show ourselves approved unto God. Amen. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. We are studying today and we are in Romans, the second chapter. We are so grateful to God for what He is doing. And we welcome you all in the sanctuary and those of you online. We thank God for you, and especially you. Oh, my God, what another time God has spared us. We pray, oh, God, that you have a great Thanksgiving and you're back and you're still thanking God for just another day that He spared our lives and give us an opportunity, amen, to trust Him even more. And we welcome you on behalf of Senior Pastor Bishop Kevin J. Jones and our co-founder, Archbishop Lou W. Smith. We thank God for my wife, Pastor Ann, and those of you in the sanctuary and those of you online. We thank God for everyone in the name of Jesus. We are so excited, amen, for what we're going to be going at today. Romans, the second chapter, and I believe we're starting at verse 16 and going forward. But before we do that, we're going to open a word of prayer by Pastor Ann, and then we'll have a little song, and then we'll get into the words. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
God, we give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor, Lord. You are the great I am. You are the Prince of Peace, Lord God. You are the great deliverer, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, that you are our peace and you are our joy, Lord. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, Father, we come to you right now, Lord God, just thank you, Lord God, for just watching over us. Continue to protect us, oh, God. Continue to lead us and guide us and show us your way, oh, God. We thank you, Lord God, for each and every person that is online, those that are in the sanctuary, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for our leaders, Lord God. We thank you for the anointing that is upon our lives, Lord God. We thank you for this word that is going to go forth in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Give God some glory.
Thank
give
you,
him some
Lord.
Praise.
Thank
give
you,
him
Lord.
Some honor.
Thank
because
you,
he is worthy of the praise thank and you, the honor and all the glory. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God, for supplying
you,
every need, God,
yes,
according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord God.
Thank
hallelujah,
you, Lord. Thank
Lord,
you, Lord
God,
thank
that
you,
as we study this word today, amen. Lord, that your vision will come into our hearts and our minds, the things that we need to be doing, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for purpose being manifesting itself in us today, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that as we study to show ourselves approved unto you, workmen that need not be ashamed, but able to rightly divide the word of truth. So, God, we give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Give
amen.
Glory,
amen.
Give
amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Today.
Hallelujah.
Welcome
into this place. Welcome into this place. Vessel, you desire to abide in the praises of your people, so we lift our hands as we lift our hearts, as we offer up praises to your name. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Welcome again. Hallelujah. We pray that your Thanksgiving has been a thanksgiving. Amen. As you have a grateful heart for what God has done and what he's about to do. Amen. And what he's doing right now. Amen. We are so good. Amen. God is so good and he's gracious. And we are starting at verse number 16. Paul is getting the church at Rome straight. He's straightening them out. Amen. Letting them know, amen, that you're not good as you think you are. Amen. You're not as holy as you think you are. And sometimes we need, I heard Bishop Kevin says, check yourself before you wreck yourself. We need to check up. And so Paul is giving the Roman church a checkup so he can let them know where they stand. And a lot of times, if you don't have a checkup, you never know what's going on with you. Because sometimes when things going along good, we think everything is good, right? Not knowing that something could be going wrong. If you got a small oil leak in your car, initially everything going to look right. Everything going to feel good. But eventually, when the oil gets to a certain level, you're going to know something is wrong. But it's better to know before that point. And so that's what a checkup is all about, knowing before time. Preventive, my mom always say, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. So you want to make sure that you prevent things before it happens. And even the government don't mind paying for free something that is going to prevent an illness. Because they know if you get that illness, it's going to cost everybody. And so it's going to cost you even more. So Paul has given the church at Rome a checkup. And so he already gotten them straight about the moral standard of how we try to compare ourselves. And then he talked about how the Gentiles were. Now he's going to straighten out the religious folks who think they got it down pat. And so there's a commentary for verse 17 and verse 24 I'm going to read to you. The apostle directs his discourse to the Jews and shows of what sin they were guilty. Notwithstanding their profession and their vain pretensions, a believing, humble, thoughtful, glorying in God is the root and sum of all religion. But proud, vain, glorious boasting in God and in the outward profession of his name is the root and sum of all hypocrisy. Spiritual pride is the most dangerous of all kind of pride. A great evil of the sin professors is the dishonor done to God and religion by their own living according to their profession. Many despise their more ignorance neighbor who rests in the dead form of godliness, yet themselves trust in the form of knowledge equaling void of the life and power. In other words, they have a form of godliness but denying the power. And so that's where a lot of people are in religious, being religious, and says that many despise, yet themselves trust in the form of knowledge, equally void of life and power, while some glory in the gospel, whose unholy lives dishonor God and cause his name to be blasphemed. So we can talk a good game, and we can act like we got it all together, and everybody needs to look at me because I'm the model. But I'm so glad that I realized that Christ is the standard. Yes. Everything else, no matter if you're the preacher, you're the bishop, you're the archbishop, you're the apostle, doesn't matter who you are. And that's why Paul said even himself, I'm the chief of sinners. He never boasts about anything that he did. This man was attributed to two-thirds of the New Testament. But he didn't put nothing on himself like, oh, you know, I got it going on because I did this. No, he said, I'm the chief. When it comes to sin, I'm the chief. And so humble is the way. But we see a lot of religious people boast on their religion and let that be who they are. But I'm glad that religion is just man's search for God. But you have to have a relationship. And so we can talk all the good talk. And, you know, back in the, you know, a lot of folks do that today. They would get themselves in debt to look good. I mean, they renting a Mercedes. So they would look upon as, hey, they got it going on. You know, guys who want to impress a girl, he going to go rent a Lamborghini just to impress somebody. But eventually, that money going to run out. If you get with that person, they're going to find out who you really are. And so the same thing with we try to pretend like Wednesday and Sunday. Man, we the best thing before sliced bread, right? Ain't no sin in us nowhere. But Monday, come check us out at the house. Come check us out at the crib. And so, but we got to be mindful of God every day of our lives. We have to make sure that we're living this thing every day of our lives, because it doesn't matter what people think of you. God knows already. And he's the judge. Ain't nobody else judge. I mean, they can talk their stuff, but when it comes really to come down to it, it ain't about what they say. The way God sees you, and God is so good that even in your mess, he sees the best in you. That's a blessing. That's a reason to shout all by itself. Even in your mess, he sees the best in you. Even when you know you done done wrong, it ain't that you somebody accusing you of doing wrong. When you know you done done wrong, he still see the best in you. And so it doesn't matter what other people think about you. It's what God sees about you. And so we have a problem of trying to impress people. Man, no matter what you do, you cannot please people. My pastor in Florida used to say, if you cover the head, the toe going to be out. You cover the toe, you're never going to be satisfied. And so the only person we need to try to please is God. And even when we fall short, he still don't turn us away. And so, but we see people would use religion to think of themselves better than somebody else. Absolutely.
Because we say, hey, I got this. Take your eyes off of God. Put your eyes on me. I'm the one that is shining. And that's why spiritual pride can be so very dangerous. That's all I got to say for right now.
We can begin to get a God complex. Like it's all about me. And if God would ever hold your breath, you realize it ain't about you.
You think you got all the eyes got in and it's not about you. It's never about us. It's always about God, even though we try to take the spotlight.
That's right.
Like Bishop said on Sunday, you're not the star of the story. And we are not. But we try to put ourselves up on a pedestal, and that's when we get in trouble. So we got to be careful with spiritual pride. Pride by itself is dangerous. I got something else to say about that, but I don't even got an answer about
that. Amen.
Oh, okay. I was just trying to find the scripture that says that everything that was made by him, and without him, nothing that was made was made. And so if we realize that we're here because of what he wants, we only exist because of him. So if we exist because of him, what do we have to brag on? That's what I was looking at, John 1. Mm-hmm. John 1, 14 or maybe 3. Okay. See, so whatever exists right now is all because of what he wants. So how do we get to have a say in it? We ain't got no say. That's why he's sovereign. He does what he wants. And so we're going to see where Paul has to straighten out these Jews and let them know that y'all guilty. Y'all ain't got to go now. So we can start. Any other comment before we start on verse 16 to 18?
Mm-hmm. Y'all remember the old thing, too many Indian and no tea?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes we think we know more than the Creator does, and we are the creature. But that's what we think sometimes. Mm-hmm. We all are guilty of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those of you out online, please, if you want to participate in this Bible study, please press 1 so we can bring you live. I think Bishop Pastor Fair, you out there, if you want to participate, press 1 so we can bring you live. All of those out there, press 1 so we can bring you live. We want to make sure that if you have input, we want to hear what you have to say. So just press 1 on your phone so we can bring you live. Other than that, we will go to verse 16 to 18. Sister Penny.
16 to 18. Get your Bibles and go to 2 chapter 16 to 18.
Okay, 16, it says, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel.
Mm-hmm.
17, indeed, you are called a Jew and rest of the law and make your boast in God. 18, and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you said, calling them out and letting them know that you're not all that, that you fall short. It's amazing how pride does get you in trouble, and a lot of times we don't think about that. It says over here, the side note, it says Jeremiah 31, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not about us. And I think so many times we think it is about us. And when you don't give him his glory, when you don't give him his glory, that's where the problem starts. And more than likely, shortly thereafter, that's when all hell
mm-hmm.
breaks loose,
mm-hmm.
more say,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
because it's not about you. It's about him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what I want to say, too, is that 16, where we started, is really the unfinished statement.
Yeah.
Oh, you were going to go to unfinished statement? To verse 12, because you see there's a semicolon, and you know, like you have a second thought in the middle of something you're saying,
mm-hmm.
and then he went on to say this other stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then in verse 10 he came back to finish the statement he had started in verse 12, and so he refers to the depth of their hypocrisy in their self-righteous arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
And then also it may seem like Paul is arrogant because he's using the word my gospel in 2:16. In actuality, according to my gospel or something. But he means according to the foundation that I have laid down for you in this gospel.
And so whereas people say, oh, he's arrogant. He's talking about arrogant. He's talking about my gospel. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, because he follows that. And he's telling them something of this gospel that only God can do because he's sovereign. And he's saying here that God will judge all men, not just for what you have done openly, but also for the things that you've done in secret.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, if it was just Paul's gospel, that he'd have to have a really heavy anointing on spiritual discernment to judge somebody in all their secrets. And so I think Sister Kenny was saying here in 17, but I think, too, that's also going to be related to something else. But I was just wanting to say how 16 was a carryover ending the summoning up the verse 12.
Verse 12, okay. All right.
Amen.
What verse you want to read?
We want to comment on
that. Okay.
Yeah. And so that's correct, Elder. That's exactly what I was going to say, that 16 is the consequences of those who think they were getting away. That in that day when God should judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, and it is according to the gospel. Now the gospel is the good news. And so if you give a good news, you're giving the gospel, right? And so the gospel is not of you, but is of the good news. And so in verse 17, this same thing is said back in Matthew 3 and 9 says, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now he comparing people to stones. So God wanted to, rather than using y'all Jews, he could have raised up stones and they would do the same thing y'all did. So don't think that you got it, you all a privilege that you got it going on. No. He's comparing them with, listen, if God wanted to, rather than choosing y'all, he could have raised up some stones. I mean, that's a slap in the face, eh? When you think you got it going on. So when people say, I'm not going to let no rocks cry out for me, because the rocks don't have the experience. And when I say experience, the redemptive experience. The rocks had experience with God because God made them, just like he made us, right? But the redemptive experience they don't have. They said, we got a song the angels came and sang. They have never been redeemed. Huh, glory. But we've been redeemed, so we got something different from the angels even say. But he said, listen, y'all don't think y'all so high. Because if God wanted to, he could raise up stones. Goodness gracious. That puts an LG tie on. That deflate all your ego you got. And so he's saying that, behold, y'all are called Jews. And y'all retest in the law. I mean, y'all so good in the law, y'all got a retest. y'all been through this test, y'all been through the law, and you've been through it again, and you've been through it again. And make it boast of God. Because y'all went through the law. Y'all know it back and front, upside and down, sideways. You know it. But how many know that the knowledge of something is not the same thing as living it? I could know that a pilot needs to get in the cockpit and press buttons and do what he needs to do. But I don't mean I can fly a plane. I can go to Dave and Buster, sit in that thing they call a whatever, and some, there you go. But that don't mean I know how to get in the plane to fly. I can know what to do, but if I ain't doing it, that knowledge don't mean nothing. So Jews know the gospel. They know the law, but how they doing it? That's why John called them what? Generation of vipers, snakes. He called them generation of snakes. You talking about somebody putting you down? Somebody call you a snake now.
The law goes back to the moon. Okay, they can be on the grace because, Christ already has come.
Yes, they're under grace. But because they're Jews, and notice in this church in Rome, you got Jews and you got Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And the Jews still hold on, although they've been born again, but they still hold on to tradition. They still hold on to tradition. And they still feel like, because I am Abraham's seed, I'm special. Some folks, if they, my granddaddy was a preacher. My daddy was a preacher. And now I'm preaching. If I don't be careful, I can feel privileged that I never been out in the world. I never did whatever. And it feels like, because I've been brought up. I wasn't brought up like y'all didn't go to church. I got church in me. And some people say, I've been in church since I've been born. You know what I'm saying? But being in church and the church being in you, there's two different things. And that's where the Jews get all mixed up. They had the law, but the law wasn't in there. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to write it on the table of you, because he wanted where? He wanted in you, but they're in the law, but the law ain't in them. And that's where we get in trouble, where we think because we know something, we got it going on.
Okay. 14 was on 17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like Paul is being sarcastic right here. He said, if is same. That's the question mark. If you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and boast in God, seems like Paul is saying, okay, you said that you are a Jew. We're going back to what you just said, too. Mm-hmm. But, you're not even obeying the law, but you say you want things. So, hey, I'm getting ready to question you. Just like sometimes people may come up to us and say, oh, you're a born-again Christian, because they see the lifestyle being different from what we are seeing.
Right.
So Paul is putting them in, I want to use the term in the spotlight. Right. So he's like, you saying you're disciplined? Okay, where are the fruits that she's supposed to be bearing? Where are they? So when I read that, I'm like, Paul is saying, I'm talking about the present right now, not what you was talking about that took place back then. That's why he used now you. That's what got my attention when I read that.
All right.
Comment, those of you out there, you want to comment on the lesson, please press 1 on your phone so we can bring it live. Press 1. We'd like to hear what you have to say.
Mm-hmm. And also taking up on 17, I think, well, 18 must be kind of explanatory to it. But like you said, you call yourself Jews. And then in one of my studies, I was just reading a commentary that says that if you are a true Jew, you are to approve of those things that are true of the law and despise the things that are not of the gospel,
mm-hmm.
which is the law mm-hmm. becoming the transfer. Like you say, religion is man's search for God,
relationship is his finding it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying, you have the law, and are not as the heathens who only have vague conjecture of divine things, but are now, when they received it, they are now favored with definite and precise information from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
They're born again.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you, more than they, commit sacrilege because you're profaning the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And in a, I'm going to just say a controversial theological sense, the when you were talking about the stones, and I raise up a theological controversial sense,
mm-hmm.
as the Gentiles, as the stones, and we are. And because here it was saying they right away received, they only had a mild thinking of what God, the innate ability to know God, but not the divine law. And yet they went on to accept and surpass some of the Jews. And so as Peter was told, or Jesus told him, the foundation, they accept the foundational beliefs of the gospel. That's what Paul was saying here, my gospel. They accepted the foundation. And then that's what happened when Peter said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not, prevail against it. And upon this foundational belief, this rock, this stone, this foundation that you have said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against that. And from now on, because you said and you believe, and he also would have said here, you didn't receive this from of man and out of the law.
Mm-hmm.
You received this from heaven. And that's what Paul is telling these Jews. He told the Jews that the Gentiles, they didn't even have the law.
Mm-hmm.
What they received, it by precise and divine instruction from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It came from that right into their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so, he said, from now on, for this your name shall be Cephas,
mm-hmm.
Which I know a little bit about, and that pebble or stone, since my last name was Cephas.
Mm-hmm.
So, pebble or just rock or the stone. So I just wanted to say that as it, how it transformed,
mm-hmm.
In using that idiom of rocks or stones and being the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wanted to, I could raise them up, which he did.
Can talk on
this? Yes, he can.
Paul says, being a Pharisee, the Pharisee was the top echelon of the sect of all the Jews, all the religious Jews there were, and because they even added their own set of laws. They wanted to be so unique. They went above the regular set of laws. They had their own, so they can set aside that we the elite. You know, we ain't just the regular Jews now. Come on, we the elite. So Paul, say, listen, I study under the foot of Gamaliel. I know this law. And so what I'm telling you, so Paul is, that's why God, he does all things well. He know who to use to do what he asked him to do. He has some background. He's not just saying this just because he heard somebody said it. He knows. So when he tell them, to listen, I know, he's saying, here's y'all judge the law. Y'all judge people's actions. But here y'all wasn't doing it. And that's why Jesus called them hypocrites. And because they kept the law, but they didn't obey the law. It's like a police officer giving you a ticket for speeding, and when he get ready to go somewhere, he put his lights on so he can speed.
Yeah.
And they ain't going nowhere.
And
emergency.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
So that's what Paul is saying. That what you guys are doing is like these police officers, and not all of them.
I'm not saying that.
So please be clear on what I'm saying. But that's what they do. Take the law in their own hands and do. And let me say this. The guy who him and his son and his other man killed, Aubrey. They investigated Aubrey, but they investigated him.
Mm-hmm.
He was an ex-police officer who was fired. For doing the same crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of him obeying the law, he wasn't trying to enforce the law, but he wasn't obeying it. So that's just what these Jews wanted to do was they wanted just...
He thought he was the law.
They just want to enforce the law, but not on living. So Paul said, listen, y'all judge everybody. Yeah, y'all judge the law. Y'all make a boast of it. And like y'all, you know, I'm you getting all these awards for locking up, for you know, all these merit badges you getting. And then here you ain't doing the law. You ain't obeying the law.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying that you know, and y'all approve these things, y'all judge the things, and more excellent being instructed out of the law. Y'all, I mean, everything you're doing from it is easy to say what y'all ain't doing.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all to get and put that boots on too and try to walk in it is a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so these Jews are the same way. They just want to just tell people what they're doing wrong.
Yeah.
It's easy to tell folks. I mean, a crackhead, no, he on crack. He don't need you to tell him he on crack. But all we want to do is tell you, you know, you need to quit that stuff. What stuff you need to quit? You go home by yourself and doing what you want to do behind closed doors, and you think it's fine. No, God sees it all.
Yeah.
And what used to amaze me in Florida, when I was in Florida, what used to amaze me is, and you're going to get caught. I mean, you're going to get caught. Somebody's going to see.
Oh,
here goes this person in our church. Behind the building. Thank you, right? And I say, now, you're trying to hide from me, but you're looking up to God. Why you doing? Turn the can up, looking at God and hiding from me. You're hiding from the wrong person. God already seen you. He knew before you even went to the store to get that, he knew you was going to do it. David said, you know my thoughts are far off. Blot out all my transgressions, because you know my thoughts are far. Things I ain't done yet, you know I'm gonna do it. I mean, think about what you think about who God is. How could you lie to Him?
Mm-hmm.
Lie to me if you want to, but don't try to lie to God.
Yeah.
I mean, David says, "You know my thoughts, not my deed. I ain't done it yet now. You know my thoughts are."
Mm-hmm.
That's a deep stuff.
It is deep.
If your thoughts is known before you even got it in your head, goodness gracious, he already know about it. Can you go hide from him? So you might as well say, hey, you know I'm a mess up. Help me, Lord. Have mercy on me, Lord. That's what David said. Have mercy upon me.
Mm-hmm.
According to the multitude, not just some of you. According to the multitude of my transgressions.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, I only did one. No, the multitude of my transgressions. Blot out my iniquities.
Mm-hmm.
Wash me, purge me with hyssop that I may be clean. Because he realized that you know my thoughts are far off.
Mm-hmm.
Before I got on the rooftop, you know I was going to look at that girl.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the bath. You know when I looked at it, what I was going to do after I looked at it.
and you still didn't cut me off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God! What? I mean, God is. When you think about this stuff, you see how great, how gracious, and how loving God is. Because He can just.
Mm-hmm.
You don't take Him nothing. Just say, okay, you're done. Just like you're a painter and you paint something, and you don't like what that is, you can just. That's how God, sovereign God is. That if He don't like it, He can just say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But even when
we
don't like it,
because He loves. Because love does that.
Mm-hmm.
Something good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, another thing, sometimes, I'm going to say I'm putting myself in it also. Sometimes we can quote scripture, you know, you can say something. Oh, that's in John 14. That's over there in James. We can quote it. Like I was telling someone back there, God can tell less how many scriptures you know.
Yeah.
Are you walking
and
you
doing
what
it.
You are talking?
Yeah.
You don't care about the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Satan knows the word better than I do.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you can quote it, and you're trying to make me look bad, and I may not be able to tell you exactly where it's at. It means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you walk in it. Walk the talk. Not just talk it, but walk it. And believe me, I don't care how you walk in the church. I can care less. But what about out there? Because we serve that we are born again. We are. I have a relationship with God, but we walk back past people who in me like they not just there.
Mm-hmm.
These guys never did that. I never read it before. We turn our nose up like we are better.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what happens so much in the church. Your relationship and my relationship with God is outside of the church.
Yeah.
In our house.
Mm-hmm. In and out.
And Levi was praying. He says, you know, I do everything, do my tithes. I'm not like this.
I'm
not like this sinner right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at me now.
Mm-hmm.
Pop my collar. I got it going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm at church every Wednesday.
Right.
And every Sunday. I'm here on time. I'm here on time. And what, I can tell you what they say. Blah, blah, blah. How you doing it Monday morning?
Right.
How you living?
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to be careful of how we, because when you see people doing wrong, it's easy to say, what's right wrong? Because you ain't always going to be doing stuff right. You're always going to be doing what you think is right, you know, what is right according to God's word,
mm-hmm.
not according to what you think, but it is right according to God's word. And so,
let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
Some years ago, a person was in leadership, and we all the way in, it was either Bahamas or Jamaica on a trip. A group of us was all the way in another continent, I guess. And this person was in leadership right at the Light of the World. This shows you how we can look at this thing in a different way, too, when you get caught. Because it's now God is doing something to cause your mind and your heart to really change. Because we was out of the country, and then we ran up on one of our leaders with someone in another country.
Other than the spouse.
Yeah, not the spouse. We know the spouse. So we know it. The person that was with me was like, do we say something? I say, yes, we're going to speak. We're going to speak. And that just... just depending on how I'm feeling about it, I may say, where is so-and-so? But we didn't. We spoke. We just spoke. But it let them know that we see you, and you way out of the country somewhere. But we let them know. And the thing was, I believe that that was a testing of God. Now, we can't put a whole lot of judgment on it. We just know what we see. And so, but I believe that that did help that person to come back home and do something different from what they was doing, because I seen where things were looking up better for him after that. Yeah, yeah.
And that's what you're saying, that's the love of God.
Yeah, that's the love. That's what I'm talking about, the love.
Okay, on your way back, instead of that, he gave grace.
He helped him to see himself.
He allowed y'all to see him.
That's what I'm saying. So he could see himself. That's what I'm talking about.
He saw y'all
yeah.
so he could see
himself.
Other
yeah.
than that, he would never see
him. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and no doubt when he got in front of that, he's like, oh, why you do this?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure his trip was really messed up after he had seen that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was yeah. he was able to see
mm-hmm.
because he saw y'all.
Yeah.
And that's what God works stuff out for our good. All things work together for the good. He didn't think that was good at the time.
Right.
But it was worth good. And
yeah.
the family's good.
Yeah.
God is so he is so good.
Now, see, and sometimes families don't even know.
Don't know.
You know, mm-hmm. he may have worked that out with him, just he and him, and we knew it, but we wasn't talking it. I mean, none of y'all know who that was. I would never say who that was. Some of you all would know probably who that was. I would never say who it was.
Just like we were talking about just a few minutes ago, how people, I got to put myself up on a pedestal in order to bring you down. That's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It was not necessary for you to do that, you know, because you could have been ugly. You could have brought it back. But that was what God had for you.
Mm-mm.
It was like, we letting you know. You think you far,
yep.
that you want to be seen.
But.
And oh, my goodness, here it is. You're my fault.
That's my fucking girl.
You
that's
bust,
it.
You know,
that's it. You busted. That's it.
Yeah.
That's
it. You don't went away.
You busted.
You busted. It ain't nothing to say.
He was cold busted.
He
was cold busted.
You know, and the whole thing is, you got to live your life.
Truthfully. Yeah.
Something happened to me probably 2 weeks ago that I had no idea. And it's about walking, the walk in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And this occurred when I was 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I want to read something. These were from my young lady. Meet Coach Bass. He taught us the fundamentals of softball and many life lessons. He inspired us, taught us teamwork. He believed in us. He built our confidence, and he instilled in us the love of sports. That's just the essence of what they said.
What they saying to you.
Now, this is 25 years. I was 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They were like 11 and 12.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they did a photo shoot, and they honored me. We talking 40-some years later.
Come on now.
You know, before I had even got myself together.
My Lord, come on. Wow. Wow.
You know, really. But, goodness. You know, I learned a long time ago my purpose in life.
Yeah.
You know, so many folks wandered through life.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned that my whole purpose was given to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I made a comment in my Sunday school class, my men's class, that everybody don't need a pulpit.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, it's about your life that you live.
Yeah, that's your purpose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to share that.
That is awesome.
Let me see, can I make it real short? See, something like that happened with me, too. I had two friends in Oklahoma. We all went to the same church. The two men was deacon. The husband was always telling us that the other gentleman was cheating. So one day they asked me to ride to Wichita Falls with them. So I said, okay.
Yes, as we walk into Dylan's, here comes Deep. He got all of these bags, and he walking behind her like a puppy dog. So I turned around. He was shocked to see me, and I looked at him. So he keep walking. He said, "Here, God, husband, Sister Weber, I told you. Didn't I tell you that he was doing that?" So I said, "I cannot believe that. We almost asked his wife to come with us.
Oh.
It would have been a big fight. We almost asked her." So we used to all hang together. Okay, so we go on. We see him again. Here go my other friend. She was bullheaded. Sister Weber, I don't care what you said. If I see him one more time, I'm going to call his wife and tell her. I said, "Just let it go. Just let it go." She said, "I already told you what I'm going to do." I said, "Okay. Okay, Sister Green. All right." Okay, so Sunday comes. Deke see me over there talking to his wife. So he's thinking that I'm telling his wife that I saw him, that I was not telling his wife. I was just talking
That's
to him to see how he was going to react. So he come over there, "Hey, Sister Weber, Deke, how you doing?" And I left it alone. But I just wanted to bring that. But I could have exposed him. I said, "My bull-headed friend, she'll take care of it." Oh, I missed nothing. Her husband that was telling us all the stuff about him, guess who got exposed?
He did, too.
He got exposed.
Wow.
Wow.
And don't say
you
try to set
somebody
on.
Sure
don't.
And
every time.
They exposing everybody but themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my mom used to play a song back in the day with the Dixie Hummingbird. "Let the Lord be seen in you.
Mm-hmm.
It is not what you say that others see,
mm-hmm.
but I declare everything that you do. So let the Lord be seen in you."
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of us, we can say a whole lot of stuff. I know coming in the 70s and 60s, fellas, we have to get lines. We have to line.
Watch out.
Just a line, boy. Like, woo! Once you finish hearing that line, woo! You're like, the knees, boy. You don't know what to say. It's called, they got silver tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Mm-hmm.
And I had a thing where I just go start singing.
Step back. Don't get near that.
Woo! And so, but can you live up to it? We can say a whole lot of stuff, but can you live up to it? So it ain't what you say.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want to say about that. It's just what you do. It ain't about what you say. You can say a whole lot of stuff, but that don't mean nothing until you do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The proving factor is that it's in your heart.
Yeah.
He came to change the heart.
Heart.
And
mm-hmm.
the Jews had the law in their head.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't, they were doing a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we go over to Matthew 7:22, we say, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord,
yes, Lord,
we've done this in your name,
oh,
and prophesied and all this stuff."
Yes.
And then, yeah. And
oh,
then
my.
He's going to say,
"I never knew you.
Depart from me, you work
with
me.
Yeah.
Never.
Never.
You better be careful.
Yeah.
If you raising the dead and prophesying, and you better see who your master is.
Yes.
Because if the Lord isn't in your heart,
yep.
and he's giving you that spiritual gift,
mm-hmm.
you better find out where it's coming from.
Definitely
because he's going to say, you work iniquity, and
oh, my God.
Never knew you.
Never knew you.
He said, "Give me. I came to God on that thing."
Oh, for real.
When he said, "I never."
Oh, my God.
"Lord, I'm ushering. I'm directing the choir. I'm doing this."
Mm.
He said, "He didn't forget me. My name wasn't even nowhere near the book of life."
Yeah.
"If your name can't be near the book of life if he say, I
never
knew you."
Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go.
That was scary.
That is scary.
Yeah.
But you're doing all this work.
I was an usher, directing the choir, over the youth, teaching Sunday school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's my eyes fell on this one day, and it fell in my heart.
Oh, my.
And he said,
I never knew you.
Oh, my goodness.
But I'm sure today.
Are you sure today?
He knows my name.
To have no relationship with the Father. As long as I show up in church and usher at the door with an attitude, because some of them do have an attitude, when you come into the church, or as long as I sing on the choir and show how pretty I am and my voice is so beautiful, I'm getting in on work. That's not what the word says.
You better know who he is.
Behind you. I do this and that. No, we got to do better than that.
That ain't gonna get you.
No.
You good?
I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. Now, one thing I want us to think about, too, is we say it's not about us. And so when we're talking about us, I'm talking about me, and God, for me, it's all about God, right? It's all about God. But when it comes to God, it's all about me. It's all about me. Because you know that he said he left the 99 to go and check out the one. So when we're saying it's not about me, that's because we are saying, it's not about me because of me. I'm saying it's not about me because I know it's all about God.
Hallelujah.
But when God, just think about the love. When God look at it, it's all about me. He would have sent Jesus for me. It was only just me right here on this earth to reconcile.
You know, there's a song. I want to live so God can use me anytime, anywhere. Is that our prayer?
Mm-hmm.
I want to live.
Yes, Lord.
So God can use me.
Yes, Lord.
Anytime, anywhere. If we live that way, we won't be caught short. Anytime and anywhere,
mm-hmm.
you want him to use you,
mm-hmm.
that means you're going to be your PhD.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be careful what you say wherever you are. You can be in the grocery store line. You can be in your car driving, wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you want him to be able to use you anytime,
mm-hmm.
and anywhere, we'll be more careful on how we live. Daily
yeah.
Because you don't know where you're going to need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done something and you got to get a check? And that was the time God wanted to use you to minister to somebody? Mm-hmm. That's the very time you, and clicking your head, and boy, I'm glad I didn't go off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad. Mm-hmm. Because God, that's the instant. Well, you could have missed it. But God pull your mind in.
Mm-hmm.
You just say, I'm going to let this get me today.
Mm-hmm.
Next step you know, 10 years ago, let me
put
that word to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we got to live our life every day. Like the next second, God might need to use me to keep them.
My Lord.
So I got to make myself a family.
Yeah.
Ready.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to do what God wanted me to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So today, I keep my mind free, keep my heart clear.
Mm-hmm.
I pray every time we pray. My prayer is keep my heart pure, mm-hmm. keep my mind clear. Because if that happens, the Holy Ghost can download stuff from me.
Mm-hmm.
He can tell me to do stuff. But if my heart then got clogged up,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna do my own thing.
Mm-hmm. Like just like these Jews.
Yeah.
I'm going to do what I think is right, and so what?
Mm-hmm.
But I know my heart is right before God, that he can use me anytime and
mm-hmm.
anywhere. So that's our prayer today, that mm-hmm. all of us would live a life
mm-hmm.
where God can use us anytime, anywhere. And we only got the three verses.
We probably covered the whole chapter, right? We probably covered the whole chapter.
But I pray that you've gotten something today
oh, yeah.
that would encourage you and inspire you to continue to let God be first.
Mm-hmm.
And even Paul is saying to the Jews, y'all act like y'all want the will of God to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I know y'all living the way y'all want to do. But our prayer is that God will be done in our lives on a daily basis. Come on, let's clap our hands for Jesus. Hmm? Yeah. I can't see you.
I think you're going through it.
Oh.
And I just really basically want to say, too, y'all may not have been hearing me when I was talking, but I basically want to say that was a good testimony.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because in this world today, it's a whole lot of folks coming and saying, this person did this to me, that to me,
mm-hmm.
and all
mm-hmm.
of that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can have the integrity
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
someone is going to come and say you
bless
helped
them
and blessed them
mm-hmm.
and motivated them
mm-hmm.
instead of saying that you had some type of sexual encounter
right.
with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a blessing to
yeah.
hear a testimony
yeah.
like that
yeah. Yeah.
on today.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. We thank God. So those of you out there, we thank God for you. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Amen. We thank God for this day. Amen. Come back on next week. We'll be starting at verse 19 on next week. Verse 19. We hope we can cover more verses. But we want to get everything out of every last one of these words in these verses. We ain't trying to read the Bible. We're trying to study the Bible. Amen. We ain't trying to read the Bible. We can do the reading at home. But we're trying to study this word and find out what God is saying to us because we want to be everything he wants us to be. Amen? So those of you out there, please give your offering today. Amen. This word, a need a seed sown on it. Amen. That you would grow, that it would grow in you and for you. Amen. So those of you got your offering, please go ahead and go on those of you online, go to our app, go to your app and give an offering. When you do, please text the amount, put on it noonday, put in the memo noonday, and send that information, that amount to, text it to 770-906-0607, 770-906-0607. So we can account that for noonday. Amen. And pray for us and pray with us. Continue to let God use you all in the name of Jesus. And so those of you here, we have the – everybody's given the offering already? Amen. Thank you all again. We see you all same Light of the World time, same Light of the World channel. Amen. Let us be dismissed. All hearts and minds are clear. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, God, that you love us enough. Even when we miss you, you still reach out your hand of love and guide us back to you. God, we thank you that you are God who would leave the 99 and come and get us. Oh, God, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. God, we ask you to bless us as we leave this place, God. Bless Bible study tonight, God. Let your word be fresh. Let it be new. Let your anointing fill this place, oh God, that people's lives will change for the better. Oh God, freedom, oh God, liberty. Oh God, healing and deliverance will take place in the name of Jesus. God, dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Oh God, bring us back on that appointed time. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen, amen. All right, thank y'all, y'all. Hey, yes, I mean.
Yes.